Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, John. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
All right. Today we thought we'd just do something a little different from the norm. All our listening audience may have been paying attention. The past couple weeks, we've been studying Brent Manning's Ragamuffin Gospel. We're going to shift away from that for today. And I thought maybe what we'd do today is just go around the room and have each of you share a scripture that's been resonating within your spirit as of late. Something that maybe God is pressing upon you, trying to speak into you. And then share a few words of reflection upon that. How's that sound? Okay, we're all excited about that. Here we go. All right. So who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Thank you.
So my scripture I've been reflecting on lately is Psalm 119:133, and it reads as follows. Establish my footsteps in thy word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. So I've been studying this a lot lately because one of my real passions is scripture. And I discovered that here, when I was taught scripture and started learning about scripture and what it meant. But lately I've been really thinking, is it just the acquisition of knowledge of scripture, or is it the living out of what scripture says? And is that really going to, I think to an extent, but I think I really want to do more and really be reformed more into the image of Christ. And so I think really getting this word into me, and like it says here, for it to be my footsteps, the way I walk, my life,
yeah.
And especially with the call that I may be soon leaving to seminary, really to possibly become a pastor if I really need to be above repute and do those kind of things. So I just, the love of scripture, you know, historically, a lot of time frames and the histories didn't have access to scripture like we do, so the joy and pleasure I get out of scripture, but making it more personal. And then also I think the second part here is, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me, is a two-part for me. One, if iniquity is having dominion over me, is the word really in me? You know?
Mm.
And two, can the word keep me from this iniquity? So I just been trying to focus more on scripture itself. And everything from scripture, from what it says about who you are, your identity in Christ, to not just moral codes or ethical codes, but just in general, the stories and everything, how it relates to me, to our era, because I believe as I reform and the church reforms, that reform is good, that we continue to grow in closeness to God and for our era, for our modern era. So,
yeah. Sola Scriptura.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little Martin Luther coming out there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what prompted this was I have a daily reading, and it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Yeah, it is.
We've been reading some of Martin Luther's things about scripture and what, so it's kind of
good.
Sparking that interest in scripture.
Yeah, very good.
More so.
Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Who would like to go next?
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you.
I'll be doing Romans 12, verse 3 through 8. As a new Life Change program member, this verse has spoken to me. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And, being new to the program, there's a lot more responsibilities, you know, as opposed to a fresh start. And the first couple of days I was a little lost, But, you know, this reminds me that God loves us all the same. Mm. Like, in spite of our shortcomings and all the gifts he's given us, that we all have a purpose, and as long as we keep our eyes on him, he's going to keep all our paths straight for us. Mm.
Good. That ought to give you some hope, huh?
Yeah.
Good. Thanks for sharing. All right, next.
Yeah, well, I'm going to read out of 2 Peter, and it's actually the last chapter, verses 14 through 16, and it's wrapping up. The writer of this book is talking to the people, trying to bring them back to the gospel, is the context, if I believe. So in the end, it says, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction." And you know, me being in Life Change, I get the opportunity to go to so many different churches, and I see so many different interpretations of the same scripture. And I'm not calling people ignorant, I'm just saying out of our own ignorance as humans, we try to interpret it. And that's just what we do. Whereas, and I'm not, for me, I just sit back and listen and try and take them all in. And the reason I brought this up is because we had a volunteer come in last night for Bible study, and he was talking to me. He's like, I really like seeing you because, you know, it's a debate. We see things the same, but we formulate the words different, the thought process is different, and we always have a good conversation at the end about it. And I always go back to the basic scripture in Hebrews, Hebrews 11. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And you put them together and it makes sense. And I'm not trying to interpret nothing. I am not a prophet. I don't believe. All I can do is believe. You know, and I go through these things and I get towards the end of the books and it always has the, you know, there's the introduction and then I get to the end of the letter or whatever and it never sits well with me, but that really stuck out. Ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. And I think when we start to do that, man, we get so caught up in which interpretation is correct, we're destroying everything we're working for.
Yeah. In the same breath, though, Peter is telling us that, you know, we need to identify a truth through Scripture, that in that context that there are those who are distorting that truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, for a time, at a point in time, a while back, I got to the point to where I almost started getting convicted about things I don't think I needed to. Trying to walk this way, I started... almost started based on certain interpretations and truths. I started questioning, well, which one's true? Mm-hmm. Which one's the real truth, kind of thing? And then it led to, I started to feel almost guilty just for liking or enjoying certain things. And then I thought, well, that can't be true. Just because something makes me feel good, now I'm guilty. And that was my addictive thinking. It's because I'm trying to get past the feel goods.
Yeah.
Like every
yeah.
time something's going wrong, I gotta feel good. But it came to me more or less like, a lot of times things are going wrong, but I have a lot of things that make me feel good at the same time. Does not mean they're wrong.
All right. Yeah. Good. Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. I guess I'll do mine. This is out of the Message
version. Eugene Peterson's The Message Bible. Yeah.
It's Romans 8:29-8:30. It's like, God knew what he was doing from the beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines of the life of his son. The Son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in it. After God made the decision what his children should be like, he followed up by calling people by their name. After he called them by their name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. And I was going to do Romans 8:28, all things work out for the good of those who love God, but this is right after. For me, it's the identity thing. For me, it's also... I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know God's got it. You know? And sometimes when I talk and I tell people, they think I just got this it's that confidence of God. Like, I know who I am. And there'll be many things throughout the day even that's going to try to take my identity or try to get me to start looking a little more like Zach and not like this pattern he set with his son. And that's the wrestle every day. And but that transformation, that's the process of becoming his child. And it's a choice every day. You have to choose. Very easy, that life or death. You want to be a child of light or the dark? You, by your words, by what you take in, what you see, how you treat people. It's every step. You have to confirm that. You have to cling to that identity. You have to, you got to claim it. You know, it's not just a one-set thing. Dunk me in some water, do this, and this is my... No, it's every day. And I notice, as I'm going more in my walk, the opposition gets more. It comes at all sides, four things all at once. And I'm getting the insight now that it's because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The more I keep going, yeah, this narrow path, we call it, the bullseye gets bigger and back, and you get more lonely as you go. You think you're alone, and the attacks come more, and it's usually from the ones that are closest to you that you allow in to affect you that way. But I'm just always reminded that this is, I'm on the right path. Because if I wasn't, times I was doing bad in my past life, nobody came at me like that. It was just joining. You know, it was all, you don't really get much friction. You know, I know also when you're trying to do the right thing, that's when you're going against the grain. You're going against the set pattern of this world, going towards an image of another pattern that you were always supposed to be. So, of course, the identity is going to start trying to be stripped. You know? And it's tiresome. You get beat up. Mm-hmm. But the healing, I got the scars to prove it. At the end of the day, it's minuscule to what the glory is going to be at the end. Like, it's not for nothing. It's not teased, toilsome, for the sake of being teased, toilsome. There's a project, I'm part of it. There's a plan. He has a plan. I might not know the full plan. I'm just grateful to be part of it. That's all I know.
Good. That's real good. Yeah, thank you. Andy, you got some?
This is Mark 12:41-44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Telling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others. They gave out all of their wealth, but she, out of poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." And to me, this is just kind of a reminder of being selfless, just helping out others in need, because I spent so much time, like basically a lot of my life, being so selfish and focusing on what I want and what I need, and it's just, yeah.
I think we would all say the same thing. I mean, I would believe that... one of the identifying characteristics of those who are trying to imitate Christ is us becoming more selfless. I think selflessness epitomizes the life of Jesus. Right? And if we're going to look a lot like him, then we need to move in that direction. For most of us gathered here this morning, we come from a history of addiction. And addiction is very selfish. It's all about my next whatever. That is a huge, and that's a good insight, a real good insight. So,
for me, I want to add to it, my motivation a lot of times, I have to constantly remind myself, it's not about me. That's how that selflessness, because that selfishness still tries to come, that ego, that pride, and I just got to remind myself, who cares what I feel or what I think or if I'm this or that or what my next move's going to be. It's not about me. And that gives me gas, keep going somehow. I get the energy, I get the strength to keep going because I constantly have to remind myself, it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I hope our listening audience appreciated your reflections this morning. And I want to thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you could become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.